where it's been going on for Friday night and then Saturday night again. And it's just been a great blessing to have our two brothers from Jordan with us. And as we go into the message this morning, I want you to keep in mind Pastor Dan's message from Sunday night. Will I? You know, if God speaks, will I respond to that message? You know, and we looked at in our morning series from Timothy. Paul had his time. He had his ministry. Timothy has his time and he has his ministry. Now it's our time. Amen. Now it's our time. Will I, let's make it personal, will I respond to the word of God this morning? So let's pray. As Pastor Ghassan, a dear friend, I went to Jordan and went to a new place, and I came home with not just two brothers, because we're brothers by faith in Jesus Christ through the new birth, but two dear friends. And one of them I welcome to the pulpit this morning, and then Pastor Iser will be speaking this evening. And as I said at the end of Sunday school, since he's traveled over 7,000 miles to be here for tonight, I hope you make a 15-20 minute trip to be here as well to hear the message that God has given. Pastor Ghassan Haddad, if you would come preach to us this morning.
Thank you, sir. Good morning again. If you like to open, please, your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 17. And I will ask Pastor Bruce to come and read from verse 1 to verse 24.
That's 1 Kings 17?
Yes, sir.
That was the last minute instruction that he gave me at the end of Sunday school. You can tell I'm having a hard time with short time memory loss because I forgot all about it until I sat down and said, oh yeah, I'm supposed to read. So out of respect for the Word of God, let's stand together. 1 Kings 17, and we're reading that chapter this morning. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is, before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, and he went and dwelt by the brook of Cherith, that is, before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass, after a while, that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. So he rose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord setteth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. She and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, hast thou brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? And he stretched out himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came unto him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. God, I pray that you would add a blessing to your word this morning, that our ears and hearts would be open to what the Spirit has to say to his church this day. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Thank you, Pastor. You know, this is the reason I asked Pastor Bruce, because his English is faster than mine, or I will take half an hour to read this chapter. And I know that, you know, most American people, when it comes to lunchtime, they cannot focus with the Word of God. So I don't want to lose my audience in the morning. You know, when I look to this chapter, really, I see something is common among every man around the world, which I name it one word. It's named need. Every one of us has maybe physical need. Some of us has maybe physical need, but some also has spiritual need. Some has financial need. Others, they have psychological need. But every person around the world has this word of need in his life. And if you search yourself today, this morning, you know, in honest way, you will find a need in you. You need somebody. You need something. You know, and this man, Elijah, you know, God creates a need for him. And this is the reason, you know, my sermon will be, can our God provide all our needs? Can he provide all our needs? You know, because this is big challenge, especially when it comes to missions. Because I know, like, giving for missions is additional for your tithes, for your offering. And especially if you are limited in your income, if you have a lot of bills to pay every month, you'll be challenged. If I paid additional for missions, what will happen to my need? And this sometimes is a challenge, no doubt. It's challenging, you know, and this is the reason, you know, I want to go with you. Please keep the Bible open on chapter 17, because we'll go through the chapter to see really how God can provide, how God works in our needs also. You know, I like, you know, when Elijah obeyed God and he went and stand in front of Ahab and told him, there is no rain will be because the Lord said this. What happened? Elijah has to run away for his life, to be far outside the city, to be in a desert, no food, no water, nothing for him. A need was created for him. So when you obey the Lord, most of the time, a need will come in your life. When you obey the Lord. So if there's a need in your life, sometimes you have to tell him, Lord, thank you, because this is a sign of my obedience. But sometimes the need, it is a sign of disobedience. So we need to know the difference. Elisha here is standing in front of a bad king. King was against Jehovah. King was building the Baal altars, he and his wife Jezebel. And God told him, Elijah, I want you to go and face him and tell him, if you won't repent, there is no rain. And this is what he did. He said, there will be no rain till the Lord will say, I'm standing to my word, you know, according to my word, you know. And after that, the Lord told him, you need to run away, Elijah, for your life, because Ahab will kill you. This is a spiritual need also. Physical and spiritual need came in the life of Elijah, because he was obeying God. And sometimes really we think that the need is outside our ability. If we go like between the verses 9 to 11, we saw this widow, that her circumstances really was outside her ability. She was suffering because of sins of other people. This lady was living in an area where the father of Jezebel was ruling. And because of Jezebel and Ahab, they were spreading all the sins all over, who's been worshipping Baal. No, there was no rain. And this widow, what she told Elijah, told him, I don't have only a handful of a meal and a little bit of oil, because there is no grass. There is nothing, you know. And she's suffering because of other mistakes, our people's sins. And sometimes maybe we suffer because of other people's sins in our life. We suffer. You know, before a few years, I don't know if you are recording this, don't send it to the government. You know, your president, previous President Obama, when he went to the Supreme Court and get this decree about homosexuals' marriage, you know, a part of your country, maybe most of your country, suffered for this. It was sin of one man that almost all the nation suffer. Same story in the days of Elijah. The sin of Ahab and Jezebel let the whole people suffer. They cannot find food. They couldn't find food. And we will see what, and we read it, but we will see later how he meant it, Elijah, when he talked to her. You know, and God sent him to a widow, doesn't have food, doesn't have water, doesn't have oil. And he told him, she will take care of you. If God sent me to a widow, I tell him, God, you are not God. You know, sometimes we read the Bible, but we don't read it in the reality of the prophet's life. What he was facing. Because God was not standing in front of him and telling him, go to that widow. He was hearing the voice of God telling him, go to the widow. What's the proof? This is the voice of God. Why Elijah didn't doubt and said, this is the voice of the devil? Why Elijah didn't doubt and say, this is the voice of Baal? Why he trusted the voice? Because he believed in his God. And he trusted his God. And imagine this widow from verses 17 to 18. She has a sorrow before its time. You know, her son, his only son, died when the prophet in her home. And, you know, in the verses she told him, you know, why you came? And she's telling him, you are the reason of the death of my son. Why you came? And sometimes, you know, when it comes to missions, I will say like, you know, why we have to add another missionary? He will kill us in giving. Understand, you know, Giving is not easy. Finding financial resources is not easy at all. When God really called me to go to Jordan in 2000, my home church, they didn't stand behind me. They said, Ghassan, we don't have budget for missions. We don't believe that God can save Muslims. So it's on your own. So, okay. 1 year, I was not on my own. I was on his own. He was providing for me. The whole first year, 2000, you know, I was shocked sometimes, people knocking my door, Christian people, giving me an envelope. This is for you. I was praying and God told me, take it to Ghassan. Huh, okay. Thank you, Nabil. Come, please sit. Pastor Aysel knows this man very well. And I open, I see a couple of hundreds of JDs, which means almost $350. Nabil, this is a lot of money. He said, God sent it, not me. I was praying. He told me, give this amount to Ghassan. In that month, I have to pay the rent for my home. God provided. So sometimes it's difficult for us to imagine, like, you know, if I'm going in a mission work or if God put on my heart to support a missionary, it's a challenge because I feel that there is a need, you know, I need to cover all my support before I go to the field. Is this true? Who is your God? You or the Lord of the Bible? Is this a God of provision or you are the God? You must provide for yourself. You know, when a missionary goes in step, he's going by faith. And when the church really take a missionary, they are taking him also by faith because I agree, I guarantee for you, all of you, that you don't know next year what will be your budget, financial budget for the church. So when you take missionary, you are taking him by faith. You are trusting your God. You are like the missionary. You are with the missionary, serving God together in that field. So, but how, what God did? You know, I looked at the passages 3 and 4. I see God's preparation. You know, he didn't, God didn't like, you know, saw what Ahab is going to do for Elijah and told him, you know, I create a plan for you now. Go and do this. I believe that God already was preparing this plan for Elijah before he met Ahab. And he told him, go to that river, stay there, and I commanded the ravens. And here I will stand a little bit. The ravens really is not birds. If you think they are birds, really they don't understand. You don't understand what the meaning of ravens. Ravens usually eat what? Dead meat. Dead meat. He is a prophet of Israel. He's not allowed to eat dead meat. So the ravens, if they are birds getting him meat, they will get him a dead meat. And as a prophet, he's not allowed to eat dead meat. And God commanded in the law, you must not eat a dead meat. How God will change his opinion? God didn't change his opinion. We misunderstand the text sometimes. The Hebrew word is Urubim. Urubim means the Bedouin Arabs. He told them, I will send you to your enemies. They will provide for you. The Bedouins for 1 year and a half was feeding the prophet of Israel. When the king of Israel was running behind him to kill him. Which Bedouins will be these Bedouins? You know, if you think about geography, Israel, what will be next to Israel? He told them here. Before what? Which country? Before Jordan. The Bedouins of Jordan was feeding Elisha for 1 year and a half. When I looked at it, I say, what? Today, what is the problem of the Middle East? Israel and the Arabs. They cannot fit together. But the only country today that have peace in the Arab world with Israel, guess which country? Jordan. Why? Because since the Bible history, they have this relation. Adam is the brother of Israel. They are brothers. They cannot forget this. And God told them, I will send you who were their enemies in that days, but remember, they are your brothers. They will feed you. They will take care of you. You know, when we look to the Arabs today, we look to an enemy in our minds. Because of the media, CNN, other social networks, media is putting this idea in our brain that the Arabs is our enemies. Really, our enemy is the devil only. Because if we want to put it like this, then the Catholic will be my enemy, the Greek Orthodox will be my enemy, the Maronite Church will be my enemy, and then the Islam will be my enemy. Because everybody who is against the Bible, then will be my enemy. But really, they are victims. They are not the enemy. They are victims that the devil blinds their eyes and the eyes of their minds. So they refuse the gospel of Christ till today. Who will be the hope for them? Who can provide that need that they know Christ today? A missionary to them. When we send missionary, we are telling God, God, we need to provide, and we share with you in providing the spiritual need, salvation for the Arabs. You know, I think about Jordan, Egypt, Syria, Lebanon, Iraq, all this, Sudan, and go to 23 countries of Arab countries. They are really the majority today because there are more than 1 billion, the 23 Arab countries. And this is how many missionaries we have there. There is Mormon missionaries, but they are not our missionaries. There's Jehovah's Witness missionaries, they are not our missionaries. There is Seventh-day Adventist missionaries, but they are not our missionaries. Do you know, maximum we can get in the whole 23 Arab countries, we cannot get more than 60 independent Baptist churches in 23 countries. In Vermont, I can get easily 16 independent Baptist churches, not more. But in Virginia, where I was, I can get 300 in one city, maybe. Or 3,000 between Virginia and Tennessee. You are blessed. You are so blessed. But you know, you still have a need to cover. And you need to trust the Lord to provide for this need. You know, what was the promise of God for tomorrow? Verse 14, I like it. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cross of the oil fail until the day that the Lord sends rain. You know, sometimes we are afraid. I have only $20 in my pocket. Let me divide it according to my need. The Lord will say, I don't work like this. We are as men, we love to think logically. This is our weakness. And sometimes it is our sin. Because we think that, you know, God told us to be wise as snakes and humble as a sheep or a lamb, whatever it is in the English Bible, I forget it is. But the Lord doesn't work like this. He wants us to be wise so we won't be deceived. But doesn't mean we are wise so we are going to control our lives. We cannot control anything. I cannot control after 10 minutes what will happen to me. If I fall on these steps, I break my neck, I don't know. This is the reason I'm not moving a lot. I don't know what will happen to me. If you can guarantee tomorrow, wow, bless your heart. Nobody can guarantee tomorrow. But God has a promise for everyone about tomorrow, that I will provide your need. Whatever it is, if you obey me. If you be obedient to the word of God, he's saying, I will provide your need. So we need to believe his will in our life. We need to trust his will. You know, look what it came like, you know, he came and told her in something is for me is not reasonable. He's selfish in his request, Elisha. He said, first, do cake for me first. What a man you are, Elisha. She's a widow. She has only one son. A widow, she's poor. She doesn't have even food. And you tell her, make the cake first for me and then for your son. Doesn't give sense. You know, if somebody entered your home and you have only one cake, we say like a joke in the Middle East. One day, a priest after the Catholic Mass, you know, a family, they love him, they invite him to home. They are poor family. And this family, usually they cook a chicken, one chicken, every Sunday because they cannot provide the meal, so they eat a little bit during the week, but Sunday, there's one chicken, and there are four children, and mom and dad, which means six members of something. So the priest said, okay, I'm coming. And the mom said, don't touch this chicken before the priest will end eating. And the priest started eating, and he ate the whole chicken. And one of the kids, he was so mad. He said, I'm waiting 7 days to eat a chicken. And he ate the chicken. He went to school on Monday. And he saw his friend, and the friend was teasing him, and he beat him. And, you know, he's young. That friend is older than him a little bit. And he cannot, you know, beat him. So what he told him, may the Lord send you two priests, not one. So they will eat all your food. Sometimes we are like this priest to our churches. Instead of being the blessing for our churches. We are looking what we can take instead what we can give. Some people, they can give their life. Some people, they can give their talents. Other people, they can give their time. I am so blessed, to be honest, when I entered the church and I saw some of you cleaning the auditorium. This is a blessing. I praise the Lord for you without knowing your names. But I remember your faces. When I was coming from down, me and Pastor Isar, you know, we saw that the lady preparing things in the kitchen. I said, praise the Lord. Every person is giving something so the church was still functioning in the ministry of God. So not all of us can be pastors. Not all of us can become missionaries. Not all of us can be evangelists. But all of us we can serve. And when we are serving, the Lord will take care of our needs. If you are serving in your church next to your home here in Vermont, don't worry. Be faithful to the Lord. And the Lord will take care of your need. He said in Matthew, but first seek the kingdom of God. And what will happen to the rest? You lose it. It will be added. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You know, let me give you a relax a little bit before I end Not before, when I say before I end, just mean I have 10 points still, you know. You know, one day we're struggling because we need to move from place to another, as I told you, because the rent was raised in the college. And to move, we need at least $10,000 because we need to pay for moving and pay for the rent in the new place in advance. And I said, Lord, we had in that day, we have $600 in the account. We need 10,000. And one professor came to visit us. His church is young, smaller than your church. He is a nice man. He's a friend for me and Pastor Isar. And he was sitting, he said, do you have a need? I told him, sure, we have a need. And he said, okay, what's your need? And I said, I remembered, you know, the church is so small. Sure, they don't have 10,000, you know. I told him, you know, Pastor Fred, I don't know how to share it with you, but we are going to move because the rent, they raise it. And so, and he said, so how much it cost? I told him, between moving and paying for the new place 6 months in advance, 10,000 euros. And he said, you know, let me do a call tonight and I will give you an answer tomorrow. I cannot promise you anything. He did a call. Guess who paid the 10,000? An American widow from her savings. He contacted, he told him, there is a big need. This is the reason I appreciate every Christian lady in every American church who loves the Lord. And I was shocked. I told Fred, I cannot take it from a widow. No, no, no. The widow is our responsibility as churches, according to the Bible. We need to take care of them. He said, she will be so sad if you didn't take it. She will be offended. I told him, you know, let her be offended. I won't take it. Then the idea came to my mind, you know, like, you know, okay, so how we can pay? I told him, you know, Fred, I have to take it. It's okay. Tell her thank you. So we wrote for her a thank you letter, you know, and sent her an email also. And she sent 10,000. A widow. Amazing what God's people sometimes can do when they obey God's word and God's voice. I'm not telling you pay 10,000, even not 5,000. I'm telling you, be faithful to your Lord. Obey His voice. You know, and I praise the Lord for every one of you, you know. So, we need to trust His word, you know. He said, you know, I will tell you, woman, God says this, you know. And I like what David said in his psalm. I was young and became old. I didn't see anybody from God's people what needed what? Bread. The same need of Elijah was. He needed bread. And God provided for him the bread. And David said in his psalm, I didn't see anybody from God's people that they need the bread. Because God will provide. You know, what is the lesson for us for today in closing? In Ephesians 3:20 will say, and you can work above our expectations. And you can do more than what we expect and think. According to the, what? Our will? According to the power that works in us. Not our ability, not our will, according to the power that works in us. You know, God is going to bless every church that is involved in a local mission, which is in Vermont, if it's in North Carolina, but also in a global mission around the world. One of God's people said this statement, a church without a mission is a dead church. I will add it again, repeat this sentence. A church without a mission is a dead church, which means a church doesn't have goal to see souls win to Christ, to see souls discipled for Christ, to see souls became leaders and servants for God, is dead. Because after two generations, who will be in the church? Go to Catholic churches, who will find? Only the first generation is still there. There's no young generation, no second, no third, no fourth generation. You want to protect your generations in the church, the continuity of the church? Be involved in missions in your area and globally. And God will provide the need, whatever it is. He provided for Elijah through a widow and through a Bedouins, his enemies. That area was the enemy. That widow is an enemy because she belonged to the king of the Baal. And at the end, she said the sentence, and I will read it and close in it. Said, and the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art the man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is what? Truth. Do you want the people around us to know that the word in our mouth is truth? Let us obey him, and he will take care. God bless you. Let us pray. Pastor.